One thing is clear as Christians, if we've been on the path of any length of time at all, we realize that we can't fight our battles on our own, in our own strength. It only has to be, it has to be the Lord that fights our battles for us. This is very clear. And this is what Psalm 60 is about. Today, as we take up Psalm 60, we see that David came to that realization very early in his career, that any time they had any victory against the enemies of Israel, it was when God was with them. When God was not with them, it was defeat. Psalm 60, actually, the circumstances for Psalm 60, you'll find in 2 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 14. You can find the same account in Chronicles as well. But I forgot the reference right now. But in 2 Samuel chapter 8, 1 to 14, we get the historical background to this. It's when Joab had victory in the Valley of Salt. Actually, the whole psalm, it covers the whole period of that chapter, chapter 8, gives us a long catalog, I guess you could say, the longest of David's battles. Actually, it's one of the longest battles that David was involved with. And he was fighting many countries, you know, the Philistines, the Syrians, the Edomites, the Moabites, and so on. And it was not only the longest period of battle that David experienced, one battle after the other, successive battles, but that in the end he was victorious. He was victorious over all his enemies. And there may have been times during that where, you know, he felt that he was not going to make it or that he wouldn't get the victory, but God came through for him. And this is what the psalm is about, how God gave him the victory. But prophetically, by the Spirit of God, of course, again, it looks at that future time when the Lord Jesus Christ will come, that great day of the Lord, and he'll put down all the those Gentile nations, and he will establish his kingdom over them. The Son of David will reign from Jerusalem. You know, if you look at the account in 2 Samuel chapter 8, you know, he defeated the Philistines. He defeats the Moabites. He defeats the Syrians. And then we get in verse 13, and David made a name for himself when he returned from striking down 18,000 Edomites in the Valley of Salt. Then he put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants, and the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. You see, the Lord gave victory to David. And that's really the point, the whole point of the psalm. And the prophetic point is that ultimately God will give victory through the Lord Jesus Christ over the enemies of Israel, the godly remnant in Israel. So we'll just quickly go through some of the verses of the psalm. Verse 1, it says, O God, you have rejected us, broken our defenses. You have been angry. O restore us. You have made the land to quake, and you have torn it open. Repair its breaches, for it totters. You have made your people hard, see hard things. You have given us wine to drink and made us stagger. You have set up a banner for those that fear you, and so on. So here we get the prophetic spirit, I really believe, looking forward to the future, but also looking back, giving sort of the history of Israel. I mean, there's no nation like Israel, what Israel has experienced, that you've made your people to see hard things, verse 3. You've made the land to quake. You've set up a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. I can't think of any nation that's had a history like Israel, whether they suffered under the Egyptians or whether they, you know, suffered under the Persians, the Babylonians, under the Greeks, under the Romans, and down through European history. And now in the Middle East, where they're surrounded by their enemies, once again, who have sworn to, you know, cast them into the sea. But verse 4 is also interesting, where he says, you have set a banner for those who fear you, that they may flee to it from the bow. In battle, they would set up a banner or the flag, and the soldiers would sort of rally around it. I like how the Derby and the New American Standard translate it, that it may be displayed because of the truth. You know, that's the battle that we're fighting as Christians. That's the testimony. The testimony is to the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the banner to which we have to gather around. Our warfare, of course, is not carnal as it was in David's day, nor is it what will happen in the future when God brings down the enemies of Israel, crushes the nations under His feet through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're in a battle as well. But let's be clear, what is the testimony? Sometimes I hear brethren speak about the assembly being the testimony. But, you know, the assembly is never the testimony. The assembly bears testimony. The assembly is the ground and pillar of the truth. That is, it bears truth that God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on the world, on in the world, and received up into glory. Paul, very clear in 1 Corinthians, I think chapter 1, maybe chapter 2 now, escapes me, but that our testimony is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's our banner as Christians that we rally around, the death and the resurrection of Christ. So it says in verse 6, God has spoken in His holiness with exaltation. I will divide up Shechem and portion out the vale of Succoth. Gilead is mine, Manasseh is mine, Ephraim is my helmet, Judah is my scepter. Moab is my wash basin. I like how the old authorized version, the authorized version has it. Moab is my wash pot. And Edom, upon Edom I cast my shoe. Over Philistia I shout in triumph. And this is exactly what we read in 2 Samuel, this victory over the enemies. And Judah was in the forefront of the battle. Verse 9, who will bring me to the fortified city? Who will lead me to Edom? And so we get victory of David presented to us and how God gave him victory over his enemies. But I just want to drop back up to verse 2. You've made the land to quake. You've torn it open. Repair its breaches, for it totters. You've made your people see hard things. I spoke about the history of Israel and their sufferings down through the ages. But, you know, all this will culminate in the day of the Lord, when He first judges His people, Israel. Judgment begins first at the house of God. Jeremiah 25 is very clear on that. First He will judge Israel, but the nations will not go unjudged. But we get a similar expression to these verses we find in Isaiah chapter 24. And it's speaking of the day of the Lord in verse 18 and 19. And the foundations of the earth tremble. The earth is utterly broken. The earth is split apart. The earth is violently shaken. The earth staggers like a drunken man. It sways like a hut. Its transgression lies heavy upon it, and it falls and will not rise again. On that day the Lord will punish the host of heaven in heaven, and the kings of the earth on the earth. Even the heavenlies will come under the judgment of the Lord. Satan will be cast out of heaven, and the nations on the earth will be smashed as a potter smashes a clay vessel. And, of course, David here is the prophetic spirit. Now, let's not forget that in David. But the victory comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so for ourselves, as the application is that we can't fight our battles in our own strength. And that's how David sort of wraps this up in verse 11 and 12. Oh, grant us help against the foe, for vain is the salvation of man. With God we shall do valiantly. It is He who will tread down our foes. And so, dear brother and sister, it is through God and His power that we'll do valiantly. So today, put on the whole armor of God. Don't leave off any of the pieces. Be strong in the power of the Lord and His might, and He will give you the victory today. Amen.